Good evening. I'm Chris Phelan with the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, continuing our series on LGBTQ plus issues and resources. One of the biggest issues for the LGBTQ plus community in recent years has been what many are calling the transgender ban from military service. Since 2016, there have been a lot of changes and uncertainty about the inclusion of transgender service members, and tonight we have the opportunity to discuss it with our guest, Camden Adore, and his experience in the Navy. Camden is a 27-year-old trans person and visual artist. After serving in the U.S. Navy, he moved to New York City and is currently pursuing a degree in visual arts with a concentration in photography. Right now, his focus is in LGBTQ+ portraiture and exploring, through photography, the many facets of society's obsession with gender, but also to provide a source of education, showing that identity goes far beyond the binary. Welcome, Camden. I am so happy to talk with you tonight.
Hi. I am so happy to talk with you as well and excited that we get to discuss this ever-present topic.
So this is a super dense topic about a very important issue, so we're going to try to get through it as efficiently as possible. But let's begin with your military experience. When did you join?
I joined in 2012, and I got out in June of 2017. So almost a six-year term.
So you joined after Don't Ask, Don't Tell got repealed. And how did that affect your experience as a queer person in the military, coming out? Obviously, it's a little bit different with the transgender policies at the time.
Yeah, so what's kind of interesting about my story is when I joined in 2012, I actually identified as a lesbian. It wasn't until 2014 that I came out as transgender. And during that, you know, in between time, I was kind of thinking to myself on my identity, but I really hadn't told anybody. So when I first joined, I felt very blessed to have joined after the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. And so I can't really speak too much to the experience before that, but having talked to certain people, I know that it was a reality, even though there were some, you know, commanders and stuff who didn't necessarily put that as a priority. There were service members who made it a point to try and get those people out of the military. So I'm grateful that I never had to deal with that. And in terms of just people on the ship and everything like that, there was never any negativity towards my sexual identity.
Last month, we had the Trans Day of Visibility on March 31st. And on April 13th, the new policy, the transgender ban, is going to be going into effect. So when you joined in 2014, we were dealing with the previous policy before the Obama administration started to change the policy. This is the pre-26 policy where trans members weren't eligible for promotion. They needed to be treated according to their birth gender. They potentially could be discharged. And also, if there were new recruits that were openly trans, they were found unfit for duty. And additionally, there was no medical coverage. Members sought outside care and that came out of pocket. And when you came out in 2014, what was your experience adjusting with not only your fellow sailors on the ship, but also with the command? How did that work pre-2016?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question as well, because once I really realized I was trans, I started doing a lot of research in terms of trans military members. And what I found was that throughout the branches, there were particular doctors that were treating trans members on a case-by-case basis. So although the ban had not been lifted, there were still some doctors who were kind of going by what the civilian medical world was saying about trans patients and letting it happen. So when I came out, that was originally what I was wanting to try and do. So I spoke to my PCM on the ship. Initially, she was the first person in terms of the command that I came out to and let her know my issues. And she said that she would talk to some people to try and figure it out. But I don't know exactly what happened or where the disconnect was, and I don't know if it came from her or not. But this is just a crazy story to just explain how the training of individuals was just extremely lacking. So I had came to her and I had said that stuff about I'm trans and everything like that. And around this time, I was also going to be going on leave, and I had asked for my leave to be extended a couple more days. And somehow my department head found out that I wanted to extend my leave a couple more days and told the commanding officer that the reason I wanted to do that was so that I could undergo gender reassignment surgery, which was, like, so far from the truth. So, unfortunately, I was so, like, you know, nervous by that happening because he had told the commanding officer that, and the commanding officer had no idea that I was transgender. I felt that I needed to go to his office and speak to him immediately about the situation.
Right.
So I did, and I went and spoke to him. And at that point, I basically just said, okay, well, this is where I'm going to try and plead my case and see if he would be willing to talk to the doctors or allow me to start on hormones on a case-by-case basis like I had heard other people were doing. So I told him, and while he was very supportive of me being transgender and me taking on that identity and wanting to transition, he held firm in the current policy at the time, which stated that that wasn't something that we could do.
Right. So you definitely experienced how even the command or the medical staff had their hands tied, even though maybe there was some empathy for your situation. But then you also had this experience of kind of having a target on your back now that you're openly out, and that fear and anxiety that came along with it, knowing the current policy is definitely not supportive of you serving openly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Overall, in terms of the command, like the captain and my shipmates, I did have a positive experience in terms of coming out. However, there were just so many people that lack so much education on the transgender identity and whatnot that they draw conclusions maybe or make assumptions that aren't true at all. And that was definitely something that I had to battle, not so much with my peers, but more so with the supervisors.
Then, in June 2016, Secretary of Defense Carter, under the Obama administration, announced that trans members would be able to serve openly. So this means no longer discharged or separated. And the RAND study that they did in ahead of this announcement was that there's estimates of about 7,000 active and 4,000 reserve members in the military who identify as transgender. And the point of this was that we want to be able to have the accession of all available talent in our all-volunteer force. He said, quote, "A matter of principle, Americans who want to serve and can meet our standards should be afforded to do so." Additionally, the RAND study showed that, quote, "there'd be a minimal readiness impact on the military." So after this June 2016 announcement, what changed? Obviously, this is a huge moment, almost akin to the repealing of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, in the sense of excitement and, progress that was seeming to be made. But what changed for you? How did you feel? And going forward, was there any real progress?
Initially, when the announcement was made, I was very hopeful and very happy and just grateful, you know, that we were making progress in terms of, you know, equal rights and everything like that. But after it did officially go into effect, I again tried two more times to start getting on hormones. At this point, I had already been diagnosed by a psychologist, which the military was kind of following the standard that you needed to be diagnosed with gender dysphoria in order to be on hormones. However, in the civilian world, some doctors or insurance companies may require that, but a lot of people practice what's called informed consent. Mm. And so they basically talk to you about, you know, what's going on, what's going to happen with the hormonal changes and everything like that, and then you can go for it. So I tried multiple times and really just had no help at all. Like, nobody seemed to want to try and help me, and it's so much harder when you're on a smaller ship. I was on a destroyer, and on a destroyer, we actually don't have a licensed physician. We have a independent duty corpsman who is well-versed in terms of medical. However, if you need to do something, anything outside of the realm of, you know, everyday things, then you need to go to another doctor. But in order to go to another doctor when you're stationed on the ship, you need to get a referral from the corpsman, and it it's nearly impossible to do.
Right,
I mean,
because
almost
you were,
with anything.
You were forward deployed, right? So your deployment schedule is very busy. And without those resources, like you said, of an actual licensed physician available, in addition to the very high tempo of operations overseas with your multiple deployment, there's just a general lack of maybe access or real attention or real medical care for anyone, but especially someone in your shoes or trying to seek out this very specific medical care.
Yeah, I was forward deployed, too. It was 4 months in, 4 months out, and I was also stationed in Spain. And honestly, at this time, I don't even know if, you know, there was, I think I actually remember them telling me that there was an endocrinologist. An endocrinologist is a hormone doctor and who you would see when you wanted to undergo hormone replacement therapy. I feel like I remember them telling me that there was an endocrinologist, but their patients are typically children. And so that's kind of how they wrote it off to me there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So for those just joining us, I'm Chris Phelan with the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. I'm speaking with Camden, who is a 27-year-old trans person and a visual artist who is also a veteran of the U.S. Navy. And we're discussing his experiences through all the changes that happened in the military and are still going on about the U.S. policy towards transgender persons serving openly in the military. So with this announcement from Secretary of Defense Carter that was going to allow trans members to openly serve, the implementation of this was that they could immediately serve openly. Then there's going to go through this period of guidance for the commanders, guidance for medical, provide transition-related care. You could even initiate your official gender change in the military system. And then they wanted to train the entire force and all the recruiters and ultimately within 1 year to have accessions for openly trans recruits so far as they meet all the standards, both mental and physical. So what changes? I know you said we talked about it briefly, but were there any significant changes with the command, medical, and personnel with all these trainings that you had after 2016? Did you feel like there was more progress being made, or were there still huge gaps that maybe we're not aware of?
Yeah, so while I commend the military for trying to do a fleet-wide training, I really do think that they went about it the wrong way. So each command would have a training. So I only sat in my specific training for my command. And for the most part, people were very respectful and everything like that. But because I'm transgender, almost every single one of my friends who's currently in the military messaged me after their particular training, you know, telling me what people were saying, and it's just absolutely ridiculous some of the ignorant questions people ask. And that's why it's so important for the trainer to be somebody with a lived experience, not necessarily transgender, but LGBTQ or ally at the very least, and not just saying you're an ally, but the people who were giving these trainings were chiefs and senior chiefs who probably have never met a trans person in their life either. And so for me, it wasn't very beneficial at all. And it just really showed the ignorance of the fleet. And it was a bit frustrating, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, I can imagine. But at least I would say just that the Navy, in the big sense, the big Navy, trying to make this initiative or push this policy, even though maybe it kind of was executed flatly command to command. But that must have counted for something as far as progress, right?
No, definitely it did. And like I said, for the most part, at my particular training, you know, people were pretty respectful. And I think that was a good majority of, you know, people. It's just, it seems that there's always one or two people who want to say something ridiculous.
We're going to have to end this first half of the interview, but I wanted to get to Trump's tweets in July 2017. He had a series of tweets saying that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. In that moment, I think at this moment you said you were already out of the Navy, correct?
Correct. I was out at this point.
But what did you feel? What happened in that moment?
I mean, I almost believed, well, initially I was like, there's no way that this is going to happen because it was just repealed and there was just all this progress, you know, and it's just extremely frustrating, this whole presidency because I feel like there's been so much regression with a lot of things that our country has been working to be better at. And with this one hitting so closely to home, yeah, it made me pretty sad. I didn't really know how to handle it, you know, and a lot of people messaged me again knowing that I was trans and, you know, I was lucky to not be in anymore, but I felt so sad for all the people that I do know that want to make a career out of it and are transgender, you know.
That's all we have time for tonight. You will be able to listen to this whole interview in its entirety online at mediasanctuary.org. But for now, we're going to have to end there. Camden, thanks so much for talking with us tonight. And we'll finish this up next time.
Sounds good.